just a single chapter. And Paul writes and says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. So he says that there are things that we have in Christ. There are things that belong to us because of our union with Christ. Amplified says, based on our identification in Christ. Say, I'm in union with Jesus. Are you in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away. He says, behold, all things are become new. See, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. So it tells you that you acknowledge, but the word acknowledge is the Greek word epignosis, is more than an assent. It means to know precisely. The epignosis means a precise understanding of something. And there are many of us who lack that precise understanding of the details of what Jesus has done for us. Now, one fundamental truth about it is this, and I always say this, anything that is not free is not in Christ. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 32 tells us that God did not spare his own son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What's freely? What is freely? Freely. Really free, right? So, God, through Jesus, in Christ, has freely given us of all things. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, says we have the Spirit of God that we might know, verse 12, the things that are freely given to us of God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, John 16, verse 12 and 13, is to unveil those things to us. In John 16, 12, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Habit verse 13, when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. He says, he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. He shall show you, verse 13, things to come. So the Holy Spirit unveils these things to us. And so we have the Holy Spirit to unveil the things that belong to us in Christ. If there's any teaching that should be prominent in the church, it's a teaching on the things that belong to us in Christ. You must know them. You must know what belongs to you in Christ. I said in the first service, our Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, though we are compassed with sin, that we are compassed with so great kind of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it says in verse 2, looking unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. So we must pay attention to the things that Jesus has done for us. He says we should look away from the Old Testament heroes, and we should look at Jesus, the perfecter of faith. Now, in looking at Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, we have been studying, started last week, we have been studying on Zion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, about them, okay. On Zion. Thank you. And we said, now are we in Zion. Hebrews 12 in 22. Hebrews 12 in verse 22. Are you there? But you are come unto Mount Zion. Now, the verse 18 says, you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. What's that mount? Sinai. You are not come to Sinai. Sinai is where the law was given. Zion is where the Spirit was given. So you come not to the old covenant, You have come to the new covenant. The covenant of the blood. The covenant of the Spirit. The ministration, the Bible says, of the Spirit. You have come to the New Testament. And so, we began to look at the things in Zion. It says, you have come into Zion. It says, to the city of the living God. It says, the heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. 23 says, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, okay, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. 24. And Jesus, the mediator of what? The new covenant. So this is describing the new covenant. It says, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better things than the animal that Abel offered. Praise the Lord. So we began to say, what is Zion? If we have come to Zion. Now, the history of Zion can be traced to 2 Samuel chapter 5. You go there right now. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. That's what the Bible says. The same is the city of David. Zion is a place of David. Verse 8. Which will get up to the gutter and smite the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that the hates of David. So he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they say the blind and lame shall not come into the house. And David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. So Zion is the city of David's kingdom. The location of his kingdom. In Kings chapter 8 verse 1. Samuel called it the city of David. Psalm 110. Psalm 110. David's prophesying here, talks about Jesus now. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And he says, the Lord shall send the rod, watch this now, of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. So Zion is referring to the kingdom of Christ. Hallelujah. So we have come into the kingdom of Christ. Colossians 1:12. Here, thanks be unto God, which has made us qualified to be made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we are in the kingdom of Jesus. John 3:3, I know you know that one. Except a man be born again, he cannot see Zion. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked in verse 4, he says, well, can a man be born the second time when he's old? He tells his mother, who to born the second time? Jesus answered in 5, except a man is born of water, that is the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, we are born of the Word here now. You're born of the Spirit, so you have entered into the kingdom of God. You have entered into Zion. Hallelujah. You are now in the kingdom of Christ. Romans 14:17 says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Said, this is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we are the kingdom now. You know, because we are in the kingdom today. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians chapter 1. It says in verse 16 and 17, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, Paul is praying, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power, so as to believe, according to the works of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and having done his name, done his word, but that is just come, and put all things under his feet, and made him over to the church, his body, the fullness, verse 23, of him that filleth all in all. So Jesus already has all authority. That's Zion. Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven and earth will be given to me. Is given to me. Alright? So Ephesians 2 tells us in verse 1, he says, you have been quickened, we were dead in trespasses and sins. He says, we walk according to this world, verse 2, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit of now worship the business among who had our confessed down past the flesh and of mind, and by nature children of brothers and others. He said, God, who is rich in mercy, which is great as he loved us, verse 5, I said, by grace are you saved, has quickened us together with Jesus, has raised us up, and made us to sit, verse 6, with Jesus. He didn't say he will make us. He has made us to sit in Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion. Say, I'm in the kingdom now. You didn't get that, did you? Say, I'm in the kingdom now. So go to Hebrews 10. Kingdom speaks about, Zion speaks about the kingdom of God. So Zion is not a place. Zion is the kingdom. Zion is the authority of Jesus. It's not a place. It's not a room somewhere. If you read very well, heaven is part of Zion. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Hebrews 10. Now, it speaks about Jesus again. Hebrews 10. Every time you hear Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, he's referring to Zion. Hebrews 10. And 10. By the which we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. How many times? And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same offering, sacrifice now, which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered how many sacrifices? One, for sins forever, sat down where? At the right hand, expecting till his enemies be made his food. So this was taken from Psalm 110, verse 1, speaking about the kingdom of Christ. Now, Jesus is not the only one seated there. We just read, I just quoted some verses for you. I didn't read them. You should know them. They're there anyway. Hebrews chapter 2, praise God. Now says, now look at this, Hebrews 2, in verse 6. But in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? And he says, thou makest him a little lower than the angels. We spoke that last week. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of your hands. I told you this is a prophecy about Jesus from Psalm 8:4-6. It's not talking about Adam. It's talking about Jesus. That thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. When thou put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9. What do we see? We see Jesus. Good. So Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now look at what Jesus now did. Now Jesus, listen now, was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Verse 10. Let's take 10 together. Let's go. For it became him. Everybody, let's go again. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing how many sons? Now, what will be the glory? The glory is exaltation. The glory is the kingdom. He has brought many sons into the kingdom to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So 11, let's take 11 together. Both he and he that sanctified, they're both sanctified, what? They're all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed. So are we one with him? Are we one with him? So are we seated in him? Come on, church. Are we seated in him? So in Zion today, the born again man is seated in Christ. See, I'm in Zion now. And we say, because we are going to Zion. We're marching out of Zion. We're in Zion now. We're in the kingdom now. See, I'm in the kingdom now. Hallelujah. So we're looking at angels. You know, we read that angels are in Zion. Angels are in Zion. Doing what? Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. You want to learn something about angels? Are you sure? Now, verse 1 Say, if God was told in times and that was man spoken time past and fathers by the prophets, in these last days, verse 2, spoke in his Son, right? Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself poured out and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus is made better than the angels. 5. For to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? So angels are not God's sons. 1. This day have I begotten thee. So he has no, another son is going to be born by him. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. And again, when he brings the fourth begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Are you still there? Let them worship him. That's verse 8. Verse 7. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. In verse 8. And unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of thy kingdom. Let's get back to the center of the kingdom. Now, the kingdom there speaks about where now? Huh? Zion. Fine. Now, look at what it says in verse 13. Let's say 13 together. Let's go. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Why? 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be his salvation? So, the work of angels is not authority. Their work is to respond to authority. They are ministers. I told you last week that the reason why man's body was a little lower than angels is so that angels can function as man's helpers. I think that was clear last week. Right? Good. So, all the needs of humanity have been programmed, alright? That's what physical needs now. They have been programmed into angels. They were made for man. Man was the last creature of God. That means everything was made for him. Angels were made for man. We saw that last week and seeing it again today. Now, one thing you will see about angels, and I've seen some teachings go around about angels, is this. And I've had people confer some level of authority on angels. We have seen now that angels don't have authority. Come on. Is that out there? Angels do not have authority. Now I'm going to take you to some Bible study. I want to see some things about angels briefly here, and I want to debunk a theory that people have about angels. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, quickly look at that. And Paul makes a statement that could be confusing. In verse 10, where he talks about women having power over their heads, about covering of head or hair, stuff like that. And in case you want to know anything about that, I've got the stand, you see, matters in Corinth. Amen. I explained that, matters in Corinth. Women cover their hair or whatever covers, you find that there. Praise the Lord. Well studied. Amen. I'm going to give you a well studied. Well studied to give you insight in that. For this cause, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And that's a bit confusing because it conflicts with something Paul says in Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Paul rebukes. And he says in verse 18, he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of what? Of angels. Intruding to those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. If I outside that, in Ephesians 3, it says, to this intent is made known, alright, to the principalities and power, the manifold wisdom of God. So, Paul's commentary about angels showed they were secondary to man. In 1 Peter, remember 1 Peter 1:10-13, where Peter said, the things that were reported among you with the Holy Ghost, or are preached, sent down from heaven. First Peter 1:10-13, it says, and the angels desire, right, to look into it. So angels could not be given that kind of, you know, privilege and say, angels know. Angels don't know God's word. They don't have an understanding of the word of God. Well, let me leave that. Yeah. They don't have an understanding of God's word, right? So, this statement, therefore, is a bit disturbing, but it would not be if we discover the word angels also in scripture was used for ministers. Because the word angels has to do with minister. So, we can safely say Paul wasn't referring to angelic beings, but to ministers. Because ministers had authority. Where else did Paul use the word angels for ministers? 2 Corinthians 11. To the same Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Look at 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, he says, into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. He uses the same word, ministers, angels, whose end shall be according to their work. So, he uses angels there to speak of ministers. Then if you read about Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, or all the churches, the seven churches, so the angel of the church of Ephesus. That word angel is not an angelic being, but the servant of the church. And that speaks to the authority, the pastor, you know, of those churches. Not an angelic being attached to a church. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? So the word angels was used, you know, differently, you know, for ministers. Now, besides that, I mean, you will also discover that there was a strange story. I'm kind of strange because the Holy Spirit told them to write it, so it's not strange. But, I mean, we could get a strange interpretation in Genesis chapter 6. I don't know whether you heard about it. And I've had a minister say this, that the reason why a woman should cover her head is because so that an angel should not come and have sexual intercourse with her. And he said it to a church of millions of people. And you can see the scare on their faces. And sometimes it's, when you hear things like that, it just reinforces one's commitment to study and to teach the word of God. Because that was absolute nonsense. How would you say that? So be careful. That they would not know that they would get pregnant not for their husband but for angels. Hey, let's try and interpret the scriptures, okay? And Genesis chapter 6 came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. It's a very strange text, but pay attention, we'll take it one by one, okay? That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and he took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with you. With you. Good. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall not strive with man. Look at 5 before we go to 4, because 4 is where the problem is. 5, let's escape the problem first. 5, and the Lord saw the wickedness of who was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were continually evil. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. So, before we go to 4, pretext, posttext, the discussion is about who. Ultimate judge. About who? Cool. So let's go to 4. 4 is where the problem is. And God said, his days shall be 120 years. You know what that means, right? That's not a promise of short life. That is, God will suffer long for 120 days before the flood. That's what he's saying. Alright? Good. from this point to the flood was 120 years. I'm going to suffer long for 120 years. It's called the long suffering in the days of Noah. Not the days that a man will live. Alright? Because Noah lived how many years? About now? Nine? No? 900 years? 800 and some years? 930 years. That was it. Adam was 930. He lived 70 years, sir. He lived longer than 120. Even his children lived 600 years. So it was, I mean, God was talking about the length of time, the length of the time of his long suffering. Now look at this. 4. It says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So people have assumed that this was an intercourse between man and angels. And they have reasons that they think is a scripture. Now, before we go further, let me say this quickly. That this story, obviously, was a story Moses documented by revelation. Alright? This story was documented by revelation. And Moses will only write what he saw or what he sees. Before we proceed, let's look at some scriptures that seem to say what happened here. Now, go to Jude. Can angels have kids? Jude. That'll be Angel Junior. Verse 5. I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate and left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So it's assumed that this is the story. But he didn't say that. He says the angels that did not keep their first estate, he kept them unto judgment. Now we know, if there's one particular being that we know was reserved to judgment, it's the devil. And in Matthew 25 verse 41, Jesus says, reserved for the damned is angels. Alright, so we know the prince of this world, that's the devil, is judged. So, this must be a relationship to the devil. Come on. Are we together here? Are we together? Now, another place where this was mentioned is 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The same thing. Now, this does not lend credence to an angel in hell. I think you know that by now. Praise God. There's nobody in hell presently. Hallelujah. Alright. This refers to what a state called Tartarus, which is a state of darkness. The state that the devil is, and his angels, whom we call demons today, is a state of Tartarus, without light. And that already is a state reserved unto judgment. Are you still there? They are not judged yet, because they told Jesus, why have you come to judge us before our time? There's a time when the prince of this world will be cast in the lake of fire. That's not now. So, this is talking about the state of being of these creatures unto judgment. But it's not saying, and it says, which sinned. The angels which sinned. And spared not the whole world. And said, no other 8th person. Now this has made people think that verse 4 is related to verse 5. And that would be careless reading, because when we read the same in Jude, the next scripture, Jude talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. So that would be poor hermeneutics. 5 is not related to 4. It's just in the discussion of God's judgment. saying as Jude 7. Now pay attention now. Now it says the angels that sinned. Sinned. Now Romans 5 verse 12 told us when sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world through one man. Sin happened through one man. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. What were them is activities. Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hallelujah. So, the sin of Satan or Lucifer is in, listen now, identification with the sin of Adam. We have this idea sitting was somewhere, Lucifer. I remember I preached a sermon in 1993, I think, or 92, one of the years. 92, I know, because Azusa, it was Azusa conference. I heard it from somewhere. The three W's in heaven. Michael the warrior. Gabriel the warden. Lucifer the worshipper. And I said, the Lucifer fell. There's a W missing in heaven. And that's you. It's time to make Lucifer jealous. Let's worship God. My sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Because we think that Satan was the head of the choir in heaven. That's why you think the choir people misbehave. Amen. So that was the choir master. Well, his voice was too far. So he said, this is my nice voice. I can be the pastor. Is that what you guys are thinking? Alright. Jesus told us, gave us an information about that. John 8. Satan's sin can only be with man because he was created, Lucifer, to serve man. I did not all minister spirits, remember? To minister for them. Hebrews 1:14, we shall be heirs of salvation, so they are ministers. Okay? Hebrews 1:14, okay, that's what I said that. John 8:44, see how Jesus describes Satan. John 8:44. You are of your father, not you now, please. The devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, when Jesus uses the beginning, he's talking about when? Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. So, the sin of Lucifer is related to the incidents in the garden. They have the idea that he pre-existed. If he had pre-existed, time, that means he's God. He has foreknowledge. Right? He couldn't have pre-existed time. He came in the time. He's a created being. All created beings were in Genesis, in the beginning. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. See that? Amen. Good. So he couldn't have pre-existed time. There was time in heaven, they are all worshiping God. Then now there are some guys in his presence. God, God, God. It's too cool. So maybe Angel Uriel. You know Uriel? Now announce martial music. Pa, 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 pa. I, General Uriel. Of the Lucifer Army, we announce the overthrow of Jehovah. Do you think they are stupid? We've assumed that the way to overthrow God. No. What Isaiah said and Ezekiel, what he spoke about was man. Man is the one that sits at the side of the north, not God. God doesn't sit anywhere. Don't be silly. God is God. Hallelujah. Satan's enmity is to man, God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. It can't be God with the strength of an angel. Overthrow. It's not even a temptation. That kind of temptation is not common. All right. So he was a murderer from Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Amen. And abode not in the truth because there's no truth. When he speaks a lie. When did he speak a lie? Genesis 3. Alright? This was when he sinned. From the beginning. Praise God. That's Genesis. There was no pre-beginning. Or else it will be Jehovah. It's only Jehovah that existed before time. Hallelujah. So, we can safely say that the sin of the angels referred to in Jude 7 and 2 Peter 2, 4. The Genesis 6 and 4. More to that is the word mighty men. The word mighty men, here, please go to Genesis 6. Mighty men is a Hebrew word, almost a Greek word, Nephilim. That was used twice in the Old Testament Hebrew. Twice. That's mighty men, giants, Nephilim. Now, Numbers 13 used the same thing. Numbers 13. Now, if we say that the Nephilim were born by the intercourse between man and angels, and then that old world was destroyed. Right? Good. And then we still see them in Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Verse 33. Remember when the children of Israel went to Canaan, and they went to spy, and they said in verse 33, and then we saw the giants, the word Nephilim, the same word in Numbers, in Genesis 6 and 4. So the giants, he said, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own side as grasshoppers, as so we were in their side. So, we see the same kind of creatures, sorry, men, I was saying creatures, same kind of men found later on. So it's not, we cannot draw a conclusion because of the appearance of those men that they must have been the seed of angels. That's careless Bible study. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Alright, so now, pay attention here now. So that appearance is not a production of angels because we have seen it again. Another place. And someone close to that was Goliath of Gath, who had the description and appearance of a Nephilim too, a giant, an extraordinary being. Praise the Lord. I have some other scientific explanation, but not in this service. Praise the Lord. Now, I think another time, because we're going to see what Jesus said anyway. Then, when we look at angels, angels, unlike man, could not reproduce. Everything mentioned in the Genesis principle, in Genesis 1 and 2, were able to reproduce after its kind, but angels were not mentioned in the Genesis account for very, very obvious reasons. They could not have been mentioned among everything God created to reproduce. Angels cannot reproduce themselves. Praise the Lord. Angels are like everything God created, were created once. All were created once. Look at Job 38. Job 38. Now you see a term used in the book of Job severally. Job 1:6. He says, and the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. Satan came in among them. And I would say, when we are gathered like this in the church, Satan will come in our midst. But I had a sermon from a preacher that said, Satan comes to church. Now the term sons of God, now pay attention now, was used under the Old Testament to describe angels. Angels is an Old Testament term. You won't find it in the New Testament because it's used for those who came directly from God. So sons of God were used for angels, not children of God as in born of God. Look at Job 38. So Job 1:6, so I've seen that. Job 38. Verse 4. What was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it. Declare, if thou hast understanding, who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, is God talking to Job, or who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons, how many? All. Shout out for joy. So, all means they were once. Alright? That's in the Genesis account. He said, when I created the earth, all the sons of God, referring to the angels. So all the angels, unlike man, you know, you can't say all men, all of men in Genesis, but all the sons of God, that all the angels were created once. All the angels were created once. They were not multiplying in the earth. No. Their ministries did multiply, but they were not multiplying. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now you see another instance where angels in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember someone like that was in the body of Christ? The fourth man. Heard about it before? The fourth man. Jesus is there with you in the fire. Daniel 3:25. When they cast them into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar now said, lo, no, so they were reporting Nebuchadnezzar, sorry. Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no heart. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He's not talking about Jesus. How do they know it's Jesus? It's like the angel of God. Are you there? So angels were called sons of God in the Old Testament. Why? Based on their appearance. But I submit to you that the Genesis 6:4 account is an error of grammar, an error of translation. Because we know that the sons of God, in the Old Testament, angels of God, do not multiply. Adam was also called the son of God. But that one, you can knock that one off easily. I'll show you how. Luke 3, we know he's not the son of God, Abba. But Luke 3, Luke 3:38, look it. Now, it gives you a genealogy from verse 23. Then it gets to 38, which was the son of Enos. Enos of Seth, son of Seth, which was the son of Adam. And Adam, are you there? Which was what? Now, of course, the word the son there is in what? Which was of God. That it came from God. So knock out the word son. He's not a son of God. God's only begotten son is Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are found in him, and we are sons by identification with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Just here to add that to what I want to say. So angels were referred to as sons of God under the old covenant, based on their appearance. They were referred to as sons of God. They could never have been, they never had the capacity to reproduce. Now go to Hebrews 1 again. Hebrews 1. Read that earlier. Hebrews 1. So when you read sons of God in the Old Testament, what are you seeing? Talk to me, come on. What? Angels. Alright. Now look at Hebrews 1, where we have clarity of revelation. It says, to which of the angels hath he said at any time? Verse 5. Thou art my son. So who has been saying it? Hallelujah. You know, I told you the language of the Old Testament is based on their revelation, their understanding. Remember that? Right. So, thou art my son. God never conferred that upon any angel. And that tells you number two. Angels were never, listen to this, open your ears now. Angels never were symbolic of Jesus. Never at a point. They were never figures, shadows of Christ. No. Never. Because their ministry is a ministry of, they were ministers, servants. They were never symbolic of Jesus. Never. And the Bible makes a clear distinction to that. Let me say this quickly also. Jesus never had any theophany. You heard about theophany? It's a figment of whose imagination. Jesus never had a theophany. He never had a pre-appearance before his incarnation. I've heard about Melchizedek. I think I took a while to explain that to you, right? Melchizedek was a human being who was used. Certain features of Melchizedek were used as a symbol of Christ. He was not Jesus Christ. He was a man. He was a man. And I even gave you his town, right? Good. Praise the Lord. Gave you his town. I helped you to see from the Bible that Melchizedek was a man. Hallelujah. So Jesus did not have a prior appearance. You also discover that there was this angel. The angel of the Lord, right? Angel of the Lord. You severally under the Old Testament, and people have assumed that that angel is God's appearance. It's not true. Always, listen to what I'm going to say now. Always read the Old Testament with the interpretation from the New. Look at Acts 7. Acts 7. Acts 7. Remember the angel that appeared to Moses, right? Okay, and we say it was God who appeared to Moses. No, it was God's angels that appeared to Moses. Praise the Lord. It was God's angels. Acts 7:53, who had received the law by the disposition of who? Of who? Of who? Of angels. So the law was given by the disposition of angels. Now back up a bit. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel that spoke to him in Mount Sinai. So who spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai? An angel of the Lord. And he says, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Angels. The angels of the Lord. But the Old Testament writers, I'm going to show you now, they conferred a level of worship on angels based on their knowledge. Jesus never came in form of any angel. Now, I've heard about the angel of his presence. I'll explain that to you. The angel of his presence, Gabriel. I am the angel that stands in the presence of the Lord. The angel of God's presence is Gabriel. And by the way, only two angels ever revealed their names in the Bible. One of them, Michael. The other one, Gabriel, the third, Uriel. You know angel Uriel? You know the angel Uriel? It's in the book of 1 Joseph, chapter 26, verse 19. Or 3 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Are you there? So angels never pre-existed man. Never pre-existed time. Angels were all created by God and for Jesus Christ. We read that last week, Colossians 1:15 down to 18. So everything that was created when? In Genesis. Hallelujah. So stop listening to fables and bedtime stories about God and angels. Alright. So an angel, because of their appearances, were given the place of God talking to man because of the way they appeared, the carry God's presence to people. But until Jesus came, God did not tabernacle among men. John 1:14 was when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The very first time that God will show himself among men was through Jesus his Son. Praise the Lord. There was no prior appearance like that. We are types and shadows through men and things they did. But Jesus came only in the four Gospels. Hallelujah. Now, so my angels now. Angels have never multiplied. Let's say that again. There are baby angels. Right? Baby angels. You don't have that. Look at Matthew 22. Jesus did answer a question like that. Matthew 22. They asked him a question. A very, very funny question. Verse 24. Matthew 22, verse 24. Say, Master, Moses said, if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren. Very interesting story. First, when he had married a wife, deceased, that died. He didn't marry a wife, deceased. And having no issue, left his wife, unto his brother. Likewise the second. And the third unto the seventh. You see what I mean? So and so dash dash dash. The last of all the woman died also, obviously. Wherefore in the resurrection, whose wife or net wife in heaven? Eternal wife. Whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. True. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection is good news, right? Yeah, I said here before you told me what I said. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. Right? But are what? What is God? Did I say prison? So angels don't marry. Hallelujah. So Genesis 6:4 could not have been angels. Jesus just told us. He neither marry nor are given in marriage. And Paul told us about celestial bodies in 1 Corinthians 15. You can just go on there briefly. So that means that, do all your marriage here. What will happen to your wife in heaven? What will happen? She will be a missus again. Let's go dance, sir. We are joint heirs. 1 Corinthians 15. Are you sure? It's 15. Now, watch this now. Paul says in verse 14, he says, there are bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and one glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead, sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. So he's saying to us that we have two different bodies. There are bodies terrestrial, there are bodies celestial. Angels have bodies celestial, and they have a different glory. You can't have a marriage of those two bodies in any format. Praise the Lord. So Genesis 6:4 could never have been angels coming into men. And you see, people... I've heard people talk about getting children from Satan. Have you heard that before? How can Satan give a child? You're an African. Correct African. Say, if God is Satan's child, how would he do it? And the point is this. You see, our words, which is ma'am, our words are the benchmark and the borderline of our lives. I've met people, I met a lady at fellowship years ago, she was told that thing, that they got her from Satan. Right? And then, there are a lot of things they were doing for her. You know, generally, you know, and I said to her, even if you're Satan's child, you know, and those things are to take our mind off the scriptures. Satan's children are fine guys. Do you understand? Satan's children are simply those who are not born again. But you now see, there's one guy, when he was born, he had a mark on his head. And the guy is moody, he said, When I was looking for a child, I went to church, he didn't give me a child. I went to mosque, he didn't give me a child. I went to Abba, other worship, he didn't give me a child. Then one mama took me to the bush. So she put something on my head, on my head, on my head. What now happened? Why did she do like this? Child B. You went to meet a man. Are we? Why did Satan just say child B? And it was. It was the door. You are only lending Satan your son. Unknowingly. Hallelujah. The Bible says the fruit of the womb is God's reward. Hallelujah. Children of Satan. Nice guys. Fine bubbles. John 8:44. You are your father the devil. Yeah, that's what you said. So use Bible language. Praise the Lord. So I say, what if it was when I was not born again that I went to one man somewhere, and then he now gave me something to eat. I ate it, and then did you not go and meet your husband? You now had a child. So you got a child with the devil. Then the issue is what? You went to meet a man that is Satan's physical appearance. Many of us were born by unbelievers. I like my two parents. Correct umbraco, two of them. So forget that we're all children of Satan. We were all children of Satan. Is that left me any babara? Don't give me all those glory. And thanks be unto God, we are not children of God. Amen. By the virtue of Christ's sacrifice, we are not children of God. So whoever has been called children of Satan in your street, just preach the gospel to the fellow. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? Satan can't give birth to a child. He can't toast a woman. Amen. He is impotent. Praise God. He was created that way. Jesus said it now. They cannot marry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If I tell you what I went through on that issue. I'm really angry. So, angels is only flesh and blood that can reproduce, have you? Very simple. Science, cells, right? Is that not science? It says, he made man a little lower than angels. What a little lower? Flesh and blood. It is from blood that you get cell. Alright? Anything you can get outside the blood will be what? Incarnate Christ. Praise God. You understand that? You take flesh and blood to have flesh and blood. Praise God. Is that simple? Good. So, say angels don't have a capacity to reproduce. I almost said they are not blessed, but let's leave that. And let them look at whether they are blessed or not. Praise God. We are blessed anyway. So, man is made, Hebrews 2, a little lower than angels. So, one thing again we have seen about angels, so that little lower is not a disadvantage. I think we saw that last week. It's what? An advantage. Right? Because the essence of Eve was to produce seed for God to adopt as children. That is why Eve became mother of all living. So, listen now. Angels cannot reproduce. We've seen that they have no authority. They cannot reproduce. They are not fruitful. They can't multiply. Praise God. Fine. Now, what does Hebrews 1:14 call them? Get what it means. Huh? Ministering spirits. Now, in what form are they ministering? Fire, right? Hebrews 1:7. It makes his angels what? Huh? Flames of fire. So they are ministering spirits. Angels are ministering spirits. Praise God. Angels are what? Ministering spirits. Now, Hebrews calls it fire to show you their appearance. and their mode of operation. They are ministering spirits. They were designed to minister. Now listen to this. It's important. That is why every angel that you see or you know, they always take instructions. Even Satan, till now. Angels always, because they are waiters. Satan's knowledge is derived from man. I've told you that severally. Let's look at a case scenario. Here is God speaking through his prophet about the incarnation of Jesus. Isn't it amazing that, listen to this, listen please, please get this. The angel of God who spoke to Mary in Luke 1, Satan was not present there. He didn't know. Then she carried him to full time 9 months. See, they were looking for him. Right? Because of BRT, they didn't even get to the hospital. They got to the hospital and they said, "Go to the hospital." So, while they were looking for a private, they just entered farms. That's it, that. And then he was born. 2 years after, no word from the devil. 2 years. 2 good years. When he was 2, then some wise men came from the east and when Jesus was 2. They were the ones that now informed Herod, who has Satan living with him. And then he became confused. A king is born. Now, look at that. Herod at that point, at that time, was approximately about 50 to 60 years by Bible chronology. Why did he become unsettled? That he just gave birth to a child. At least he will grow before he overthrows you. He became unsettled. That is, it's an emotion expressed from the devil. Then they go to see the child. It was 2. When they didn't take the gift to him at the manger. They took the gift to him at home when he was 2. So, God warned the wise men, don't go back and inform Herod. That means, if they didn't say to Herod, Herod would not have known anything. So, Satan takes information from you. Now, he goes, listen now. And he now leave. Herod now became crazy. He didn't come back. So, call the number, say, sweet stuff. Send a text, he didn't go. Ha! So use Google Earth. Yeah, don't let. He now said, alright. Kill children from 2 years down. Alright? He's confused. Now what happens? The angel appeared. God appeared to Joseph. Said, take the child out and take the child to Egypt. And they left. I thought Satan was everywhere. He didn't know. So, 2 years, he thought they had killed the promised king and Messiah. And Jesus comes back in the temple at 8:12. Is in the temple, Satan is not yet aware that is the man. He has to be told. Pay attention. Jesus was not working in Joseph and Co. carpentry shop. He was deputy vice chairman, because his father was the owner. And I think Jesus had biceps, so big one. Because in those days, carpenters used to go to cut big one. You know that Robert Power, except a man, he done it. You know what in the temple? I'm going in the temple. Except a man, a man. You'll have heard that. Stop, just sit down. So, when he was 30, he goes to be baptized of his cousin. John didn't know. John was now told by revelation, John now announced, behold the Lamb of God. Immediately after, Satan came to tempt Jesus. That was how he knew. He would have to be told. Why? That is just how an angel is. But rather than being told by God, because he's now attached to us, he's now told by man. Come on, are you there? Well, the angels of God have been told by who? God. What to do. So here he is. He goes again like a fool and gets Jesus to be crucified. Isaiah 53 is so clear. What did Genesis 3:18 say? He will bruise their head, and he went like a fool. And the Bible says, if the people who had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if they did themselves in again, showing you, and God in his wisdom, make sure that, you know, that's why the Bible says, no eyes, no ears, because if I see it, here, they will tell the devil. Do you understand? So God made it like that, so that the devil will not know. Now if man knows like that, you know, you see how you do now. God has spoken to Jesus. I have made you too small in my eyes. John says this. That is Satan accusing you before the Father daily. Amen. Because he said, but they overcame him by what? Which is the word of their testimony. So when you give Satan information to use, if you say, I'm going, if you keep what where you are going tomorrow in your mind, Satan will never know. I realize. If we talk to ourselves and we say, listen, you don't know what you're saying. Because number one, don't forget, it's not everywhere, it goes to and fro. Can't be in more than one place at a time. That was why when he was killing children, Jesus was in Egypt. But then he went back to Egypt, Jesus was back. Hallelujah. Okay, so it's just an angel. Praise the Lord. It's just an angel. When we talk about Satan, you wonder, is it the Satan in the Bible? A brother told us this years ago. He said he saw a vision and discovered that, and he saw in the Bible that Satan, that the body of Lucifer was like one third of the streets of gold in New Jerusalem. He said, brethren, let's be careful. Satan has one third of New Jerusalem. Let's pray that he's not overthrow God. I wonder where I moved. I wish I would do vision and say, Jesus is at the right hand, and at the left hand. Only Jesus sits. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We are very silly. See, as Jesus is talking, Satan is saying, it's my own. Say, Satan, what are you saying? You know, that Jesus, that devil that has, it's very ugly. It's not ugly. Not ugly. I want someone like that. Hallelujah. All angels are what? Ministering spirits. They must take instruction. A ministering spirit is someone who takes orders. Hallelujah. They must take orders. Satan takes orders. Now to us, we give us a get out. They say, Satan, what are you doing? Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He said, in my name, not my names. In the powerful name of Jesus. In the everlasting say, Lord, Jalea. Heavenly Father, you want to cast out the demon? Say, hey, Father, King of Israel, thank you. I worship you. Are you serious, my God? Oh, Lord, 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 thank you for your authority, my Father. You want to stay in our paper, man. You know what you want to use? Give you a gun to Jesus. Say, thank you for the gun, oh God. And thank you. Oh, what a great gun. Oh, you can shoot. Thank you, Father. You will not use the team. Hallelujah. So we have authority? In the name of Jesus. We are the ones that are seated. Angels are not seated. They dare not sit down. If you see an angel sitting as a fallen angel. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's a fallen angel. We are taught by an angel. He's acted by a church that is not, they don't believe in Jesus. The angels, those ones married, they like them, they love themselves. They will sing. And they are seeing Jesus of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, 1 there. Get some out of this. Are you sure? So we have come to Zion to the innumerable company. Now, innumerable means what? Means what? Uncountable. So where we are, what do we have? Uncountable number of what? Well, I want you to let us give Hebrews 1:14 a shout. An uncountable number of what? Ministering spirits. Flames of fire. Hallelujah. So we've got a countless flames of fire around us. I like that song by Kush. I'm surrounded by... I like that song. Angels, but you know that song? Correct song, go. Correction. That's what you like. Hallelujah. The angels around us, because we are in Zion. And the Bible says God has made the angels to worship the Son. They will serve the Son. So angels are at our beck and call. Say, angels are at my beck and call. They serve me. At least they say, who has served me? They minister for me. Hallelujah. Now notice something. So we are angels. What are angels in Zion? Ministering spirits. What are we? The spirits of just men made perfect. We are righteous men. Perfect men. That is, we are the sons. They minister. So we are ministering spirits and righteous spirits. Ministering spirits and perfected spirits. We are perfected in the Son. So they are designed to minister to the Son. They are designed to minister for the Son. So our relationship with angels is a master-servant relationship. Master-servant relationship. So I say, oh, they can be so big. No. It depends on what they need to do. If they need to be smaller, they will be smaller. It depends on what they need to do. Hallelujah. It depends on what, that's why in the Bible we find them appearing in different ways. It depends on what they are akin to the voice of God's word. If the word of God in that situation is healing, we're going to see that they will appear like physicians. If the word of God in that situation is preservation, they will appear like correct bodyguard, Voltron. So it depends on the word of God about that situation. In the case of Elisha, remember in Gehazi, they appear like fire. There is no shaking. That is a no shaking approach. I mean, when you find people coming, like soldiers against them, and they surrounded them in Syria, Syrian army, and Gehazi, you know, he doesn't go for Bible study, he doesn't pray in tongues, he doesn't study, he's always watching movies. So you say, M.O.G. sir. The people around us, they are more. So they are going to say, you know what, Elisha was praying in spirit. Studying, watching, living with Telica. So he said, those that are with us, say, this is not a confession thing. These are little things. So Lord, open his eyes that he will see it. As he opened his eyes, Lord, open his eyes. He now saw what? Chariots of fire. He said, what the? So revelation makes you bold. Hallelujah. Revelation makes you what? Bold. Look at Elijah. Elijah went by what? I set you up again, right? He went by whirlwind. Amen. But there were chariots of fire. Angels were there. Chariots. You know, chariots means chariots. That means not just one. So we are more than that. Amen. In Zion, we have countless chariots of fire. See, I'm surrounded with chariots of fire. It's a master-servant relationship. Master-servant relationship. That's what we have with angels. But pay attention to something I'm going to say now. We are not to be angel conscious. We are to be, listen now, Christ conscious. We are to be, the more of what you know, say listen now, Mrs. Bonner, the more of what you know in what you have in Christ, the more angel ministry will be available to you. The more of your rights and privileges you walk in Christ, the more angels will minister for you. Remember a guy like that in China, years back in they had prevented the bringing of Bibles. I know the man. Not one of them, but I know his ministry and I know people that know him. And he was bringing the Bible, so they normally smuggling Bibles into China, so they have this the security that prevents Bibles, and when they catch you with those Bibles, they imprison you. Sometimes they put them in long-term imprisonment. So he was expecting someone to courier Bibles to them. The guy came in late, so by the time the Bibles came in, they were going to meet the security, like at the borderline, the border part of the town. So he got really disturbed. But he now began to thank God and say, thank you, Father, because you make a way for us here in the name of Jesus. He got out of fear, because when angels appear to me in the Bible, he said, fear not. Fear paralyzes the ministry of angels. We'll see that next week. Fear paralyzes the ministry of angels. They cannot act in fear. Alright? So here he is. There the guy is. Says he just prayed. And as he prayed, he just saw an angel. The angel, you know, now brought in he was on a bike. The angel said, take me on. So the angel now came, got at the back of the motorcycle, and he said, let's go. He said, I was wondering. He said, let's go. So as they were going, they met the security folks. They were checking another car or so. So one of the security men just came to their motorcycle and looked at the man he was carrying as the angel, and he recognized the angel as his cousin. He said, sorry. And he just spoke to him and said, no, you pass. And they just moved. And as he got past the border, the angel said, I told you, I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. So angels also play the role of man's intelligence. The man will see something else. Praise God. We see it in the Bible. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. So angels, they minister the word of God. They minister for the word of God. When we speak the word of God, what we're doing is that we are making the angel ministry, the ministry of angels, available to us. Don't be angel conscious, be Christ conscious. Be conscious of your sonship in Christ. You know, one time, Revelation 19:10, something strange happened to an apostle of God by the name John. The angel had given so much revelation. So the angel said so many things. And the angel was leaving. John fell down. Apostle John. John fell down. He said, the angel, stop it. He didn't want to join Satan. He said, stop it. Immediately. Praise God. And what did he say? Verse 10. He says, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. I'm just one of the servants and of your brethren. Hallelujah. That I have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. We are not to worship angels. We are to receive the ministry of angels. Angels cannot be worshipped. Angels rather worship. Worship means they serve the church. Hallelujah. We have the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are the ones that have the testimony of Jesus. Say, I have the testimony of Jesus. Say, don't worship me. I am your servant. Of you and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. We have the seal of Jesus. Hallelujah. So angels serve the sons of God. Now Hebrews 13:1. We'll begin to close from this point. Hebrews 13:1. You get some out of this? Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. So, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. He says, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The word entertain means to receive. Now, the writer of Hebrews is teaching a Christian virtue by living by the word as receiving the ministry of angels. Be kind to people. And he's saying, when you are walking in the spirit and walking in the word, you will receive angels. He says, some have entertained angels unawares. Now, he's referring to folks from the Old Testament now. So they've entertained angels unawares. What do? Angels minister help. They minister help. They don't want your help. They minister help. But interestingly, their ministry will be seen when we are living in the Word. When we are walking in the Word. When we do what the Word of God says to do. Why? Psalm 103 verse 20. Run there quickly. I close him. Psalm 103 verse 20. Praise God. And then praise the Lord. From Hosea 3 verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, talking about angels, ye ministers of peace, that do his pleasure. They hearken unto the voice of what? His word. What is the voice of his word? When you put the word of God on your lips, angels will respond to you. Hallelujah. When you put the word of God on your lips, angels will respond to you. Because they are made to minister for the word of God. When we declare God's word, when we speak God's word, when we honor God's word, we'll find angels minister for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be angels conscious. Be word conscious. As you put the word of God in your songs. Remember years back. Hallelujah. You know, I can tell you so many stories. As you put the word of God on your mouth and you speak them consistently and consistently and consistently, you will see the ministry of angels consistently. Angels don't respond to tears. They don't respond to emotions. They respond to the word. Hallelujah. Respond to what? The word. God's word. We're going to see from next week how they respond to our prayers. When we pray, they respond. Pray how? Pray in faith. Pray with the word of God. They are acting to the voice of his word. In prayer, in praise, in our confession, angels respond. Why? They are ministers for the word. They minister for the word of God. They bring to pass the things that God has said. Amen. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad? We have angels ministering for us. I wrote a song years ago. Everything's working for my good every day. Everything's working for my presence every time. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. All I know is the script is working for me. Hallelujah. Everything's working for my good every day. Everything is working for my precious. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. The minister help for me. See, in your career, angels will minister help for you. In your job, in your home, in your business, in ministry. The minister preservation. We're going to see that. Protection. The minister direction. We're going to see angels minister strength and healing. As long as it's in the world, angels will minister for you. Lift your hands, worship. Remember that song.